Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
My God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. My God is awesome, heals me when I'm broken, strength where I've been weakened, forever He will reign.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Let's pray together, saints of God. We thank you, Lord God. Father, it's the words in our language doesn't express how great thou art, Almighty God. Father, as we all come together this evening, Father, in honoring you, your love that you've given and granted unto us, Lord God, to recognize. Help us, Lord, to see and perceive. Father, because we've fallen shy to show you the true honor that you deserve, Almighty God. Help us to see and to perceive and to understand you in a greater way, Lord Jesus. Have your way tonight, in Jesus' name. Y'all can be seated this evening. Most of the world has been indoctrinated and trained and taught about the goodness of God and the love of God and the grace of God. We live in a nation that knows about Calvary and what God has done for us. And that's wonderful. It's wonderful to know that the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob came and manifested himself in the flesh and walked among men. You know, we sing a song, "Our God is Awesome." And we think of how awesome He is, was, and is to come. And that He came and expressed Himself to you and I in humanity and mankind, came to man in the image of sin. That's what the Bible said. He came in the image of sin. But He came and walked with us, and He took the sentence of death that was upon you and I, because of the fall of mankind. And He took this penalty upon His own back for you and I. Our God is awesome. I know this, that the only thing I'm worthy of is eternal damnation in hell. And if we could find a worthiness to make it into His kingdom, it's by His mercy and His grace. Because He's an awesome God. And we got to learn to really rely and depend on that. Because according to the Bible said that Brother Rob, or you, any man, at our very best righteousness is filthy. That's filthy rags. That's our very best. So can we depend on our endeavors and our efforts? Can Brother Rob depend on my lifestyle, my convictions, my standards of godliness and holiness to whatever measure that I have? Can I depend on that? No, not whatsoever, not one little bit. If I lean and depend upon my theology and I learn to depend upon my sacrifices and I learn to depend, man, it's going to fall so short, brethren. It's going to fall short. And he said, what do we depend on? On Him. And Him alone. And you say, well, if we come to this place, Brother Rob, that we fall in love with our Lord and we are sincere as we know to be and we love Him, you know, is that good enough? Absolutely not. Because a man's heart is continually evil and deceitful. So where are you going to start depending upon that? You see, we put our faith in Him and in Him alone. He is our God, our Lord. He's our Savior, our salvation. And say, well, brother, if we're going to put everything and all dependency upon him, I've been sitting in your church here, Pastor Rob, and I've been sitting here, and you preach do's and do's and do's and actions and works and labors and sacrifices and suffering and travail. So you must be somewhere, Brother Rob, depending upon your labors and upon your efforts and upon those things. Let me help you for a moment. Let's go back and talk about my Lord and Savior Jesus for a moment. Did he have labors? Okay, come on. Now, did he have labors? Okay. Can we all agree? I mean, the Bible, you know, we've got to come into an agreement. Can we agree that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ had labors? Okay, I think we're all in agreement on that. Okay, so let's talk about his labors for just a moment. Was his labors for his salvation? But he had labors. He had works. Okay? It wasn't for his salvation. He is salvation. Is that correct? Correct? He's our God. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. He's the Prince of Peace. All power and all authority was given unto him. But then yet he came in and walked a sacrificial life before humanity. I could say that he crossed the T's and dotted the I's, huh? I mean, he come and he walked before a critical eye and the critique of the Pharisees, even Sadducees. He walked under the critique of the most religious people and devout people and holy people. He walked before them all. And the Bible said that he was without sin. And I think that he fulfilled every jot and tittle, amen? And it wasn't for his salvation, but it was for my salvation. Can you all say that yourself? Can you say, Jesus done this for me? I could tell you this, and I believe I know. We hear people say that, I know that I know. But I believe that he would have done the very same complete actions that he done when he walked among men if it was only I that was going to make it. He wouldn't have changed one different. He was hoping for all of us to make it. But he wouldn't have changed that. What he done with such love, he done it for me. He had me on his mind when he was on the cross. You know, that's a song, but you know, that's the truth. He had me on his mind. Do you have him on your mind? How often in your daily activities, how often in your life, how often is he included in your life? Well, here we go. You're going to go back into deeds, aren't you? I say, well, let me ask you a question, and let's remove eternal life for a moment. Some of us could do good to them that despitefully use us and hate us. Some of us have trained, sacrificed, and learned to do that. When Jesus was on the cross and they're driving nails in, and he said, Father, forgive them. How many of us could do that? You know, I'm not excluded from this conversation here, but how many of us could be having nails driven through our hands and say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. You know, if you, in the state of mind that you're in the way that you think, and you had all authority and all power, and they're driving nails in your hand, you might have called a host of angels down out of heaven to do some beheading, huh? You know, the same God. Now, this is the same God on the cross now. Because when they talked to Jesus, they said, when are we going to see the Father? And he said, how can you say you have not seen the Father when I've been with you so long? People don't understand that because they haven't come to the mind of revelation. They never even asked God and prayed that he would grant them the mind of revelation. And they would understand that. But you see, that God that was hanging there on the cross is the same God that called the bear out of the woods to kill children for mocking a man of God, a prophet of God. And here he is, this great God Almighty. And you say, oh, it's the Son of God. And I say, I understand. I do understand that perfectly well. Because the great God in the Old Testament was invisible and no man had seen him. And then he came and robed himself in a fleshly body, and he come for men could see and comprehend and understand his action of love. And he showed it on the cross of Calvary through suffering. Amen? But that same God hanging on the cross, that same God that was there on the cross saying, Father, forgive them, is the same one that has all power and has all authority. And when they looked up at him and said, hey, physician, great physician, heal thyself if you're who you say they are, he had the ability. He could have done that, but he had you on his mind. He's thinking, you know, by these stripes, you'll receive your healing. By these wounds and by these stripes and by this suffering and by this blood will bring atonement of sin and redemption to mankind. And he had that on his mind when he was there on the cross. Amen. So we come to trying to understand that here's this God that is salvation, this God with all power, this God with all authority. But he comes and walks among men, condescends to a man of less estate, robed himself in the likeness of sin. You see, man is the fallen image. And he come in the likeness of this, brethren. Come on. You say, well, but man was created in God's image is what the Bible says. Well, you need to get some revelation and understand what that means. Because he told us not to remember even Jesus Christ in the image that he was in when he walked among men. We're commanded not to know him after that image. That's why we don't put a crucifix on our wall and show him stripped off, hanging on a wall, because we don't know him after that image. We know him in the resurrection. Amen? Well, that was the same image. Well, I'm not sure if you really understand. It says God appearing in another form. And they didn't recognize him when he was walking along the coast with them, but their heart burned within them. Their heart burned within them, and they knew him. They'd fellowshipped with him. And all of a sudden, they didn't recognize him or know him. Come on now. I think if I took a 3-day absence trip from you, and I come back and I was walking with you, I think you'd know me. Is that right? So maybe it's not quite exactly the way you think it is. You know, we've all got our ideas. We watch too many Hollywood movies. And you say, well, how did he come back? What manner was he when he resurrected? Well, one thing, before the resurrection, when he was robed in the image of man, he couldn't, well, he had all power and all authority, so he could, but in that image, he couldn't walk through that wall. You understand that? We're trying to understand God and what he is, and we're trying to understand you of what you are and who you are and why you do what you do. You see, people get weary. Brother Rob preaches do's and don'ts. Come out of the world. Be a separate people. Touch not the unclean thing. The Bible said that no drunkard is going to inherit the kingdom of God. No liar. Sexual immorality will keep you from the kingdom. Fornication, adultery, these things, the Bible says, they will keep you from the kingdom of God, from the third heaven. They'll keep you from entering in. So Brother Rob's preaching, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. Is it for your salvation? No. You see, a miserable place to live is struggling in fear for your salvation. There's no rest, there's no peace in that. When you say you got peace, you're lying to yourself because you don't have no peace. The only way you can have peace is in salvation. That's the only place you can have peace. Otherwise, you just go through the motions of religion and you're seeking a peace, and peace is momentary. But there's an eternal peace, the Bible said, that surpasses all understanding. And you say, well, Brother Rob, do you have that peace? I say, yes, I do. Where did you find it at? At the cross. Well, I found it there too, Brother Rob, you might say. But then yet, there's things that show up in our lives. We find so many things. So we find, again, a warfare, a travail, a continual struggle. Well, Brother Robert, I'm not sure if I understand you, because in one minute you're talking like this, and in another minute you're talking this way. Well, then we got to start differentiating what you're hearing and what I'm saying and how you're hearing it. Some are slow of hearing. Some are seeing things unclear. The Bible said seeing through a glass darkly. Others see beyond the veil, the Bible says. They see beyond time. Some see, some don't see. Jesus said that. Some of you have eyes to see, some of you don't. And you say, well, we're all in here. There's nobody come in the door with a wide stick. We all have eyes to see. And I say, not according to what Jesus said. He said, some of you don't have eyes to see nor ears to hear. Now, I know this is common doctrine here, brethren. Come on. But the thing is we just hear those things and we go on about our little temporal life. We're here just for a moment. The Bible says a vapor and a mist. Trying to give you an expression. Go out on a cold winter day and you breathe the exhaust out some breath and you've got a little vapor there. Watch it for a moment. Watch the jet airplane when he flies by and leaves a little vapor trail. Watch it for a little bit. It won't be there forever. It'll start fading away. And that's your life. Quicker than a weaver shuttle. You know, that's pretty fast. It's here and then gone. And we put so much emphasis on this life. Jesus didn't put the expression on this life. He put the expression on the life on the other side. He pointed everything to another kingdom. He told them when he was here, he said, look, my kingdom's without observation. And they're wanting to take, the zealots are wanting to take him and say, come on, let's crown you king now. Let's run the Roman Empire. Let's run them out of Israel. I mean, they were ready. There was men that were zealous. Man, they had a sword in their hand. Boy, come on, let's do it, let's do it. And they pushed the Lord Jesus. Come on, let's do it, let's do it, let's do it. Can you be our David Koresh? But he had to deal with those things. He had to deal with that. But he said, wait a minute. My kingdom is not of this world. So now here you are today. Some 2,000 years later, here you are today. And here we go again, and here we are. And we think, what's going on, Brother Rob? What's happening here? And the message is the same. The message is no different. You see, the Bible said that Jesus was the firstborn of many brethren. Okay? Does he have any brothers here today? You're his brother, I'm his brother. We're a brother of God. You say, come on, Brother Rob, can you say that? Well, sure I can. Or makes the word of God a lie. Well, he was talking about, he was the firstborn of Mary, and, you know, then he had a brother, you know, and that's okay if that's where you want to go, but we understand things in all dimensions. I'm a brother of the Lord. I'm a son of God. And you say, well, you're different than him. Well, that does say that comes to me by measure, but with him with no measure. But I'm still got a measure. You got to measure. Let's talk about a couple things here. Trying to just understand what this is all about. If I'm a new creature in Christ, this is what the Bible says, I'm born again. The Bible said you must be born again to inherit the kingdom of God. So if this is a commandment of the Bible, and this is a decree that we must fulfill, then I would think and hope that I would know what I must do to be born again. Now, one of the great leaders in Israel was standing there, Nicodemus, and you know, and he questioned the Lord. Well, what must I do? Enter into my mother's womb? And he got reproved, didn't he? But how many people today know what it must be to be born again? We've had great men of God that walk the earth, you know, and the Billy Grahams and different ones, and they come in and say, you know, and we got Bible for Romans Road to Salvation. You know, you must believe in your heart. Can man be trained to believe in his heart? He commanded, you know, you must believe in your heart. If we're going to go to the Romans Road to Salvation, you must believe in your heart. But man's heart is deceitful and wicked, divisive. And the Bible goes on to say that a man doesn't even know his own heart. So now you're going to base your salvation on you believing in your heart? You say, come on, Brother Rob, you're tearing the word up. You know, I got this hope. I got this hope, but don't take my hope. I don't want to take your hope. I want you to make your calling and your election sure. I see that we're in a time and a day and an hour that the world is being destroyed, brethren. And there's an infiltration. You know, if we would just really be honest and quit trying to, sometimes we don't want to look at things. You know, when you're scared as a little kid, surely you know that you're perfectly safe when you pull the covers over your head. You know, there's a boogeyman out there, but got the covers up. Man, I'm safe now. I'm protected. That's the last thing I want to do if I got something fearful coming against me. If there's something in my room that's going to eat me or kill me or stick me or stab me, you know what? The last thing I'm going to do is cover up my head. I'm going to be watching that dude, huh? But that's what we do. This is what mankind does. It's like, oh gosh, this is beyond me. So, you know, the ostrich sticks his head in the dirt. Everything's cool now. I think the lion was laughing so hard at him for doing that. He thought, let's just leave him alone. He's that stupid. But that's man. You know, and then sometimes we're afraid to know. Sometimes we think, well, there's protection in ignorance. And, you know, biblically speaking, we can say that there is. You know, much more given to you, much more required of you. And this is why sometimes as we grow in the grace and knowledge of God, you see, I want to be a child of the King, but I want to be one that pleases my Father. You know, we'd say, well, I don't want to know much because I don't be required. Well, you know, playing ignorant as a little child might have worked with Daddy, but as I started getting older, he put demands on me. How long have you been serving God? How long have you been walking with God? What does he expect of you? Does he have expectation of you? Well, he done all the work at Calvary. Well, if he done all the work at Calvary, why don't he just knock us all in the head and we just go on home? What's the purpose of life? What is the purpose of tarrying? What is the purpose? You see, there's a purpose. We can say, well, I'm predestined in Christ. You know, Jesus done the work, I'm predestined in him. You know, and either this one's predestined or isn't. So if this is the elect of God, if this man's the elect, so be it, he's going to make it in. If he's not the elect, so be it, he's going to go to hell. Well, you got a truth there, and you're rambling around on an absolute revelation and a truth. But what made this one the elect of God? And what made this one a serpent seed, or one that's going to go into eternal damnation? Do you think that God just sat back and playing dominoes with somebody? You know, and said, oh, okay, wise, you know, the wise guy. Yeah, he's my elect, okay. You know, and then flips a coin, and this other one, you know, nah, this one ain't. Flips another coin. Come on, brethren. You know, and the you know, we go into the scriptures on predestination. Some don't like to talk about predestination. It scares them. Well, if I'm predestined, it doesn't matter what I do. Well, that's wrong. If you're predestined, everything that you do was already seen before the world ever was. You understand that? You're a creature of time. You see, and you're waiting on time to fulfill for you could know what the outcome is. But you know the one that is beyond time, and there is no time to? He knows the outcome. Amen. He knows what you're going to do. So he says, you know, I already know everything. So in that, you're predestined. Well, I know that Brother Rob's going to, you know, stumble around and this, that. But, you know, he's sincere. He loves me. And you know what? His name is in the book of life. I knew this before the world ever was because I was crucified before the world ever was. You see, when you want to get into your chronological order of God, and he said he was crucified before the world ever was, what are you going to do with that? Oh, but you know, the world had to be created and all these things had to take place and Jesus came. That was a manifestation of what happened before time. Come on now. The Bible talks about you. He said you were leaping for joy before the world ever was. Oh, but brother, come on, Brother Rob. Well, do you believe in eternal life? Okay, so you say, well, I got eternal life, Brother Rob, because I've accepted Jesus as my Savior. Well, then if it's eternal life, you were there before the world ever was. That's what eternal life is. You say, oh, no, my eternal life started when in 1958 when I was born. No, you just don't understand. See, this is where people struggle with Jesus. Well, you know, Jesus was born right there at this end of B.C., you know, and he was born right then and this and that. But when he was here, he said, I was before Abraham. Oh, wait a minute. You know, look, dude, you're only like 30 years old. Don't be telling me, you know, that you're before Abraham. You only got mad and wanted to kill him. You're a man making yourself to be God. You see, I'm just talking to you about the things that astounded the religious people. These were the most devout people that loved God and gave their lives. They saw such great things and witnessed such great things. And then Jesus comes along and astounded them. They're like, man, what are we going to do with this guy? You know, I don't know what to do with him. Sometimes they don't know what to do with Brother Rob. You know, this guy's, you know, just another fat dude. You know, just like the other fat dudes, and he talks like he's living forever. He talks like he can't die. Praise the Lord. But what's the Bible talk about? You know, you see, if I tell you that the last enemy of God was death, and you say, well, it hadn't been conquered yet, then I ask you, when's it going to happen? When is it going to happen, my friends? If Jesus didn't conquer it at Calvary, then it's never going to get done. And when he said it was finished, and he said that death was abolished, you know, when something's abolished, that means it's done away with. It's no more. It's abolished. It's gone. And you say, but Grandma died, Brother Rob. Papa died. You know, I could say, I lost my brother. I lost my mama. I could say, man, don't tell me the death's no more. You see, you're thinking wrong. You're in the wrong realm. You're in the wrong mind. You're in the wrong thoughts. You're living in despair. You know, you're not in the victory. You're not in the peace of God. See, when you're thinking that way, you can't have peace. Oh, but I'm going to die. I'm scared. You know, the doctor looks at you and says, sir, I'm giving you 3 months to live. You're going to die. And you smile back in and say, man, praise the Lord, brother. God bless you. Amen. Doc, I can't die. Well, you ignorant thing, I'll probably watch your wife mourn over your old fat self when they slam you down in the ground and you start rotting. And I'll be there at the funeral home to smell your old stinched flesh. You see, but he don't understand. He don't understand what death is. This is why we have peace, brother. Yeah, but Brother Rob, I want something that's real. You know, something that I could touch. Something that I could feel. I'm not going to believe unless I could put my finger in the nail print. I'm not going to believe unless I could see that scar in his side. You know, and we found a rebuke for that. More blessed is the man who believes without seeing. But then yet we're men like Thomas with an old doubting mind. Well, I just got to believe. I got to see. But brother, come on now. I believe in what the Word says. I put my faith on the Word. Okay, so let's talk about what I see with these eyes. It said it's carnal. It says it's temporal. It says that the things that I see with my eyes are temporal. But the things that I can't see are eternal. Well, how many have eternal life? But then yet you base everything on what you see in this world. And then yet you want to be part of the eternal world. You see, if you're born of God, you're part of the eternal world. If you're not born of God, then all's yours of the natural world. So if I want to be born of God and I want to be born again, and I want to be this new creature, the old man has got to die. He's got to be done away with, and I become a new creature in Christ. So then the new creature has a whole different law that he lives by. I use the term law. I shouldn't use that term, but I used it in an expression that the laws to the first birth man, the law of gravity is very relative to him. Ha! Boy, it's still working. Well, I thought you said, Brother Rob, that you wasn't of that law. Huh? Well, you're exactly right. Because my spirit is already in heaven. And it's in heavenly places fellowshipping with Jesus. And it's dwelling there. So it's not relative to this what you see. But you're relative and you do everything by what you see of this man. Now this is why they couldn't worship Jesus. Because they had their Messiah in another aspect of thought. Come on now. There's so many scriptures that we could talk about. The Bible said they're sick and afflicted among you because they don't know how to discern the body of God. Well, what does that mean, Brother Rob? It's because I can't look at Brother Johnny and say, this is bone and bone and flesh of my Lord and Savior. This is the Son of God. So then I bring affliction and sickness and damnation to myself. What you do to the least of these, my Brother John, but see, it brings sickness, sorrows, despair. But then, yeah, we're singing, my God is an awesome God. You know, and we got sickness and despair and hate and bitterness and jealousies, envies and strife. But where did the awesome God go? You see, and we get into struggles and travails and we're weighing everybody out and we're looking at everybody. Well, he's not good enough for me. I don't like him. I want nothing to do with him. And you say, well, preacher, you're the one who breaks fellowship even with your own family. If you only could understand, then you would know why. It's something you'll never be able to do because you haven't seen beyond the veil. You haven't seen beyond the revelation. You haven't seen what Jesus had to do when he was rejected by his own. Oh, but he loved them. He sure did. The action of love was the cross, the crucifixion. And you say, well, I'm not sure if I understand. I know that's why I'm the preacher. Because the whole world doesn't understand. The world's in darkness. If the preachers of America understood, we wouldn't be losing the nation. Well, you understand and we're losing it, so you're guilty. And I say, yeah, and amen. I say, amen. So let's read some scripture. All right, turn over to Jeremiah, the 6th chapter. Y'all love the Lord? God's good, isn't he? You know what? I like being a Christian. Oh, but you know, you got to come out of the world, and I can't go and do all the things I want to do. You know what? I found that all the things that people want to do bring sorrows and sicknesses and damnation and struggles and problems. And I just don't have the desire for those things because I found out that the things that are temporal in this world are lures of Satan. And he's trying to get your mind on those things for you don't have your mind on God. And all of a sudden you got your mind so infatuated with careers and businesses and recreation and vacations and all this stuff that your mind ain't where it's supposed to be. My mind is to be on God continually. The Bible said to pray without ceasing, to pray always, amen, to pray continually. And I need to have my mind on God all the time, amen. I need to be thinking on him and thinking about him on a continuous basis, thinking on the things from above. But when I'm thinking on the things of this world, then that means I've got a worldly mind. And a worldly mind is the enemy of God, because the Bible said the carnal mind is death. But see, I'm supposed to be in the mind of life. I don't want the mind of death. The product of the mind of death is death. But the product of the life is let this mind be in you that was also in Christ. That is the mind of life, the mind of salvation, the mind of power. The mind that's eternal. I want that mind. Oh, you say, but I want it. Well, then why do you keep wanting to desire to think in your mind? Why do you always challenge God with your mind, with your thoughts, with your theology, with your understanding, with your religion? You see, he doesn't care about your religion. He only cares about one thing, and that's him. The mind of revelation, the mind of God, the mind of Christ. Let that mind be in you. Amen. I'm not pushing you to join some church or some denomination. I'm continually looking for fellowship outside the walls of Christian Temple Church. I'm looking for brethren. And we find them. We find them scattered around. It's a little flock, the Bible says. A small flock. Little flock. Few be there that find it. Oh, I believe in this big. Where are they at? If you believe in all this hundreds and thousands and millions of saints, where are they at? Come on, honestly, brother, please, where are they at? I appreciate the sister over here in Kentucky that's making a stand. Man, I'm you know what, I hope they do something, and you know, and if she needs support, I hope they make some kind of thing that we can send her some money. Let me help pay for an attorney. Let me do something to help you stand and fight. You need me to come to court with you? I'd like to stand out in front of that courtroom thing with a sign. I am with this sister. Praise God for somebody with conviction. Praise God for somebody that loves Jesus. Praise God that somebody says, I don't care what man could do to me, but I'm going to serve my God. Amen. Let's give her a hand. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Maybe she'll wake up some of these lukewarm Christians, huh? Jeremiah 6. Let's go back to verse 9. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall thoroughly glean the remnant of Israel as a vine. Turn back thine hand as the grape gathers into the basket. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised. Now, you're going to have to get out of your flatline dimension of thinking everything in one realm. You know, the New Testament doctrine talks about a circumcised heart. Now, we're talking about a circumcised ear. So we know when we're getting into prophetic books of Jeremiah here, we got to get beyond just the realm of dealing with the Jew. Is this correct? The natural elect of God. Remember, the natural elect of God, the Jew. Don't forget that. But then yet there's another Jew, the true Jew, the spirit Jew. And they got a circumcised ear and a circumcised heart. Come on now. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. Now, I want you to think about why we're reading this and get your mind out of the rebuke that's going to Israel. We know what happened to Israel. Come on now, that's God's chosen people and chosen land. And he departed from them. And he came to us. Woohoo, praise God. You know, we were the ones that were the unclean. We were the Gentiles. You know, they couldn't even eat with us or sup with us or fellowship with us. But then all of a sudden the grace of God came to us. But he left his own. They left him, I should say. That's what happened. These were the warnings. But this is the same warning, brethren, if you would understand God. This is exactly to what's happening in America today. I'm telling you. Oh, you're a doomsday prophet, Brother Rob. No, I'm just telling you what, if you can get your ears circumcised, you'll quit hearing just the natural vibration. You see, when the man is circumcised, it removes the flesh. Very significant. And it brings a revealing. Okay, and I got to be very cautious. But it brings forth a revealing, an exposure. We're talking about something used to bring life. So when we get into the dimensions of God, we got to have some things circumcised to remove some flesh that we can bring forth life in the spirit. You understand that? An uncircumcised heart, brethren, isn't fruitful, but one that is could receive. Amen? Let me go back to 10. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord unto them a reproach, and they have no delight in it. Now, I'm not trying to, people hear me preach and they get mad at me. Because it's like you're just mad at everybody, Brother Rob, and this and that. But let's talk about America for a moment. You know, it's like this woman, she should be able to say, hey, I'm a Christian, and these are my convictions. What would have been wrong with the two perverts to go to the next county over? Come on now. And go over there and get their marriage certificate by somebody that doesn't have godly Christian convictions. But you see, they hate us. And they're going to do everything they can to reproach. Now, if we go and talk about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, brethren, they were in the same circumstances. But they said, I'm going to choose to serve God rather than man. You know, they went through the fire, didn't they? They went through the fire, and they weren't burned. Let's trust why this woman is thrown in jail and going through the fire, that she won't be burned. Amen. I think God's using this woman to bring a lightning, maybe, to a remnant people that need to wake up. Therefore, I am full of fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the aged with him that is full of days. And their house shall be turned unto others. Brethren, we've just about given America to the Muslims. I'm sorry. That's going to make you upset. But let me tell you, you could say whatever you want to say, but the man that's in the Oval Office, he is a lot more Muslim than he is Christian. And if he even a little bit of both, you can't have that. We know better than that. So he's going to be with the evil, huh? Because you ain't going to taint things and mix it with Christianity. So when he has this Muslim agendas and things, it's very apparent the way he dealt with Israel. When the prime minister of Israel comes to our country, he should have been treated like Jesus Christ and royalty. And makes him come through the service entrance into the White House. What kind of foolishness is that? The man was very offended when he was here. Very offended. And that's because it was a very calculated thing for this president to do. See, people don't want to go read his college days books of what was his purpose and his plan and his mind. You see, you just don't rid yourself of that perversion unless you get born again. Is he born again? Evidently not. So the agendas that laid in his heart, and when he said under Reverend Wright, now I'm not here to bash the president, brethren. And you say, well, the Bible's against that. Well, you need to understand the word, because I don't think you do. Amen. No, I just don't want to get up here and just bash, but I'm not bashing a president. I'm bashing the devil that he has yielded to. The man is Antichrist. You may not believe that, and I could show you in the Bible and prove it to you. I could most definitely prove it to you in the Bible. He is Antichrist. Are you saying, is he the Antichrist? I didn't say that. I said he's Antichrist. You see, I'm Christ. Am I the Christ? No. But I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. I came into his mind. He's given me power. He gave me power to remit sin. I could show you that in the Bible. I could read it right to you that he's given us this power. But he had all power. Yeah, and he gave it to us. We're the sons of God. Dad delegated to us. Why do you think he sent us into the world to preach the gospel? He said, go in and baptizing them. Why? For the remission of sin. Oh, so you're saying you got to be dunked in water to have your sins remitted? I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Yes, people could come and find salvation and be filled with the Holy Ghost like they were before water baptism at the household of Cornelius. And yeah, they got salvation. They got life, but they went ahead and fulfilled the word and went and got baptized, didn't they? So, you know, there would be some that maybe don't have time, like the one on the cross. People take that and say, well, you know, he said he'd be in the kingdom with him that day. And I said, yes. Well, he wasn't baptized. I said, well, praise God for the grace of God. Amen. But what does that do for you? When God himself walked among men and he took time to be baptized, what makes you think that you don't need to? Come on now. Amen. And then we got these churches that, like the Catholics, won't sprinkle you. But when they bury you, I hope they bury you. When you die, if you believe in dying, or if you go to sleep, however you want to say it, I hope they don't just sprinkle dirt on you. Hey, there's this guy, you know, sprinkle a little dirt. That sucker's going to stink. Cover him up. It's a submersion. Baptism is a burial. Sprinkling isn't biblical. Okay, just a side note for some of you watching. Amen. Just smile. Jesus loves you. Amen. Well, you just crossed my doctrine up. Good, I love you. Just stay with the word. Amen. I'm not asking nobody to leave their church. I'm just saying get in the word. Yeah. And you get in the word, your church will probably throw you out. <Praise God. laughs> Oh, I've been there, done that. Okay, let's see. Here we are, verse 12. And their houses shall be turned unto others. Like the White House has been turned over to others, ain't it? We sure ain't got the kind of men that founded this country in there, do we? Think about the forefathers of America. To see the foolishness going on there, boy, they would be, woo, you talk about civil war. Could you imagine? The children done this little skit, and they were talking about the flag, and about them holding that flag up there, man, when they were fighting. And you know, that one would die and another one would go in to replace the one to hold that flag up while they were being bombed. You know, come on, brethren. Those were men there. They had a reason and they believed, amen. And they stood and God honored that. And their houses shall be turned unto others and their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. There's hope. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness. We're going to have an altar call, brethren? That included us, right? Come on now, brethren. This is something in your first birth. It's something of the nature of man. And he looked and he's seen everybody that way. If American ain't covetous, please find me one. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. Are we in a day of false priests? False prophets? Come on, brethren. God's talking to America. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. I'm dealing with some preachers that started a little website called the old paths. You know, looking for the old paths, the old ways. And it's a young man, the one that started this thing, just fell into sexual immorality, what I understand here, not too long ago. He didn't go back far enough. He didn't go back far enough to the old path. But they start preaching old path, and I see this man, and to him, the old path was in the 80s. And I'm thinking, my God, in the 80s, I heard the preacher crying out, you know, and I heard the preachers crying out in the 60s saying, let's go back to the old path. You know, and they were crying out, looking at, you know, a wretched generation. We just don't understand sometimes. I'm sorry. Don't be so haughty in your mind and sit there and stand before a God that knows everything. But he's telling you to go back to the old paths. Oh, but this is 2015, Brother Rob. You know, come on, we got to just love everybody. Everybody's a Christian. 2015. Thus saith the Lord, verse 16, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Come on now, brethren. I'm the preacher that's crying out the old paths, and people mock and laugh at us, and they go on about their own way in their own minds and their own human reasoning, and they lightly esteem when you're preaching the Bible and the Word of God in the old paths. This is the failure of America, because the preachers quit preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. They've turned into little, the Bible says, hirelings. It's a job. I don't want to offend nobody. And if I rebuke the sister deacon or brother deacon or whatever's brother or uncle or aunt, I'm going to lose my job. Hirelings. Don't mess with this family. Don't mess with that family. Man, I talk with preachers, brother, and I know what I'm talking about. I've been with them in fellowship with them. I've heard these things, brethren. That's not the ways of God, brethren. Let's get to the old paths. The men of God were real. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also, I set watchmen over you. Oh, come on, man. I don't need nobody over me. I don't need no man. I got this relationship with God. I don't need no man. I don't need to. But he said, also I said, watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Come on, brethren. We've been listening to the trumpet blow. The trumpet's been blowing, brethren. Are we hearing? Well, I don't know what you're talking about, the trumpet. It's because you don't have ears to hear. But there's a trumpet that's been blowing. And I'm telling you, the people in this work, there's many of them don't have ears to hear the trumpet. I'm sorry. They have not heard the voice. They have not heard the voice of the archangel. They have not heard the voice of the trumpet. They have not heard the sound of battle. They have not heard it. You know, I'm sorry. You say, well, I'm not one of them. I say, well, praise God, keep your faith. But I'm telling you what, sometimes it's very evident. Your ear needs circumcision. You need to cut that fleshly earbud out of the way. Come on now. For you could hear what the Spirit of God is saying. You know, you say, well, I don't think this all necessary, but remember, your eternity's at stake. Your eternal life's at stake. This life is like a vapor and a mist. And you going to gamble in what you think that you know when man's ways are right in his own eyes, the Bible said, but it leads to destruction. That's what the Bible said. Man's ways is right in his own, but it leads to destruction. I don't want my way. I don't want mama's way. I don't want daddy's way. I don't want grandpa's way. I want the way of Christ. I want the way of God. I want the straight and narrow way. I want the true course. I want him to be a light unto my path. I don't want this other way, brethren. And Satan is the master of deception, and he's had 2,000 years since the Lord was here, and he's had 2,000 years to create you a savior. And he's Catholic. Come on now. The Catholic Church says, oh, you know, I've sinned. And he says, well, count your beads. Say your Hail Marys. You're forgiven. Now, is that Bible? He said, go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. But is that happening when you're back into the little box? The Pentecostals are the same, brethren. The Pentecostal Church of America has turned into Catholicism. 100% hook, line, and sinker swallowed up by Catholicism. See, if you knew what Catholicism was, you think it's the guy walking down with the little chain and the lantern, putting in incense and smoke going down? Catholicism is a mind. Catholicism is a religious mind that says, hey, you're okay, be part of this. It don't work that way, brethren. Come on now, don't work. Luther had a revelation of what was going on in the Catholic Church, and he said he had to go out. They put his life on the line. Come on now. We need some men of God like Luther, some men of God like Wesley. Come on. Those men would be so distraught right now in this day and hour. Also, I said, watchmen over you saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. We're not going to hear. We're not going to listen. I don't want to hear what you say, Brother Rob. I don't want to hear what the Bible says. They just want their ears tickled and talk about part of the Bible. But they don't want to get to the Bible. They don't want to really get to the Word. They want to just talk about the things that tickle the ears. Oh, God is love. He loves you so much. He's going to accept you just as you are. He will. But let me tell you, when he accepts you just as you are, you're going to start being purged as of by fire. And the fire is going to start burning out the impure things. Tried as of by fire. That's what John the Baptist said. He said, hey, I'm not worthy to unlatch your shoes, but he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Amen. Where's the fire, brethren? Verse 18. Therefore hear ye nations and know, O congregation, what is among them? Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people. What are you going to do that for, Lord? You're a loving God. You love everybody just the way they are. What do you mean you're going to bring evil down to the people? Come on, folks. They don't know God. He said, when you run into me, it's going to be like a she-bear robbed of her cubs. Going to tear you into pieces. But that's not love, Brother Rob. Sure it is. Man, that is a merciful act. Come on now. You say, I don't see that, Brother Rob. Well, let me tell you something. We're living in a wretched, adulterous world right now. We're afraid to go out and enjoy ourselves in the communities in the town. People are walking into churches and killing people. People are, you know, you if you want to go enjoy the beach, you're going to get there and there's going to be some stripped off floozy. Okay? You know what? Their hind end hanging out. And we're supposed to, oh, look at the pretty seagull. You know, look at that. Oh, look at the pretty color of the water. We can't enjoy it. Well, you're just self-righteous is your problem, Brother Rob. Well, if you would understand the Bible and how much God hates that, then you would think differently if you was in his mind. He's a holy God. I had a preacher getting upset with me the other day. Because I say I believe in a standard, you know, of dress in the house of God. I said, you know, what's the name of the, you know, Denny's? No shoes, no shirt, no service. But I'm in church. You know, come on in, you barefooted little short penny. You know, with your little tanky toppy. Come on in. Oh, I love you. Come on, this is the house of God. The Catholics make you respect the house of God. The Catholic priest, before you come in the door, he says, turn off your cell phone. Take the gum out of your mouth. This is God's house. Thank God for the Catholic priest. Let's give him a hand. He's got decency enough to tell people how to act in the house of God. But we're Protestants. Oh, God have mercy. I appreciate the respect that they can put on the Catholic people when they walk into their sanctuary. I commend them for that. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people. I will bring evil upon this people. I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. You say, well, we're not under the law. Let me tell you something. God brought some laws in the New Testament that we're commanded to uphold and to walk in. Many things. And they've been destroyed and they're not upheld at all. I know we're not under the law and going to make it in by the law of Moses. But let me tell you something. There's a law. He said, you look upon a woman and lust after you've committed adultery. And he says in his word that no adulterer is going to make it into the kingdom. So go strip off your daughters. Go strip off your children. Go strip off, for they could flaunt themselves at the beach and some man could lust after them in his heart, for they could be numbered as an adulterer and go to hell, and then tell me you're a soul winner. And then they mock me for holiness. They mock me for decency. They mock me, but they're mocking God. Say, what you do to the least of these, my brethren, is what you've done unto me. Come on, saints. We're in a tough time, dark time, perilous times. Can't you see it? Can't you see what's happening to America? Can't you just see it? Preacher cries out, but they can't hear what he's saying. And then they don't listen to what he's saying. Oh, it's all about you, ain't it? I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about his word. I'm reading his word line upon line, verbatim. I'm not talking about me and my desires and my wants. I'm reading what he says right here. And they lightly esteem it. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor my law, but rejected it. To what purpose cometh there to me increase from Sheba, and the sweet cane from the far county? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable. Come on now. Nor your sacrifices sweet unto me. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will lay a stumbling block before this people, and the fathers and the sons together shall fall upon them. The neighbors and his friends shall perish. Thus saith the Lord, behold, a people cometh from the north country, and a great nation shall be raised up from the sides of the earth, and they shall lay hold on bow and spear, and they are cruel and have no mercy. Their voices roareth like the sea, and they ride upon horses set in arrays as men for war against the old daughter of Zion. America, listen. I'm telling you, God repeats the patterns. You may not see that. You may not agree with that. You may not believe it. But there is a beautiful pattern that's taking place in America. America is running identical pattern to Israel. It has to be. Because when America is rejected, it's going to be rejected on the same foundational truth of this Bible and this word. And his own elect people rejected him. They rejected him. This is what America is doing. It was God that founded this nation. I'm telling you, God raised up a handful of crazy men. Come on now, to fight against the United Kingdom. A handful of men. All around, the sun never set on it, it says. But a handful of men made a stand because God was with them. They were like Gideon's army, just a few. But where are these men at today, brethren? Where are they at? Where's this remnant at? Where's this small flock, this little flock? It ain't this large numbers, brethren. They've fallen into this. How small of a remnant came out of Israel when God rejected it? Think about it. Come on now, think about it. Jesus chose 12 and one of them was a devil. Yeah, they all went right back to their old ways. They crucified him, hung him on the cross, man. They're right back out doing what they were doing before. Why weren't they carrying the gospel? Back out fishing. When he come along and Peter was in the boat naked, the Lord made him put down in the word he was naked for a reason. It was for a reason. And as soon as he saw the Lord, what did he do? Did he run nakedly to him? No, he said he grabbed his cloak and he covered his nakedness up. Amen. There's a revelation in that. You need to understand why. Then you'll understand the man on the Jericho Road. Come on now. If you could understand that revelation, you'll understand the man on the Jericho Road. And you'll understand why the Samaritan had to come and clothe him and wrap him up. the Samaritan. We know who he is. They shall lay hold on a bow and a spear. They are cruel and have no mercy, and their voice roareth like the sea. And they ride upon the horses set a race, men of war against thee, O daughter of Zion. We have heard the fame thereof, and our hands wax feeble. Anguish hath taken hold of us in pain, as of a woman in travail. Go not forth into the field, nor walk by the way, for the sword of the enemy and the fear is on every side. O daughter of my people, gird thee with sackcloth, and wallow thyself in thy ashes, and make thee mourning as for an only son. Most bitter lamentations, for the spoiler shall suddenly come upon us. I have seen thee for a tower and a fortress among my people, that thou mayest know and try their way. They are all grievous revolters, walking with slanders. They are brass and iron, and they are all corruptors. The bellows are burned, the lead is consumed, and the founder melteth in vain, for the wicked are not plucked away. Reprobate silver shall men call them, because the Lord hateth and rejected them. That's where we're at, brethren. I'm telling you, brethren, this is where we are at, thus saith the Lord. In United States of America. It's exactly that way. And there's going to be things that you're going to get to witness. And you better get filled up with God's love and filled up with His power and filled up with His compassion and filled up with His mercy. And you better stay full, because you're going to witness things. You say, man, you sound like a doomsday prophet. Well, open up your eyes and just look. Do you think that I could preach this kind of a message and America was just this land of the plenty and all the prosperity and all things? But everything that you believe and everything I believe and all the morals and the structures and the foundation countries are tore away. And maybe you've been desensitized and you don't see it or smell it, but it's a stench in the nostrils of God. He hates it. He hates it. He's angry. God is angry, brethren. Oh, but he's so loving and merciful. He was angry when he walked among men, when he went into the temple and they defied the temple. Did he express anger, brethren? Come on, he kicked the tables over in the church. He kicked the tables over and ran the money changers out. What do you think he'd do today? You see, he's non-changing. The thing is because of the blood on the mercy seat and the dispensation of grace is why this has been allowed to go on this far. But this is the way he sees it. Let me tell you, the blood's coming off the mercy seat. And when the blood comes off the mercy seat, if you have not made this transformation, if you have not made it, then you're going to be seen in your sin of what you always were. The Bible said that the world will see us of what we've always been. The Bible said, beloved, now you are the sons of God. The world doesn't see you as sons of God. That's what the Bible says. See, they don't see Brother Rob as the son of God. They don't. They do not see me as the Son of God. But there's going to be an unveiling that's going to come forth, and they're going to see me standing with the Lord, just as He is. Come on now. See, people don't believe that, but let me tell you something. The dead, the death and hell, but these dead are going to come forth, and they're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. But let me tell you, Jesus is going to have a witness to every generation. And it's going to be the ministers of the gospel, the fivefold ministry. And let me tell you, if there's a man in this church that's going to stand before the Lord and he says, brother such and such, I never knew you. Ye that work iniquity, depart from me. I'm going to tell you something. I will be standing there with the Lord Jesus. Then it'd be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses, the Bible says. And I'm going to be a witness. I say, I poured my heart out. I cried. I wept. I prayed. I exhorted, I reproved, I rebuked. I'd done everything I knew to do, Lord. You said after the first and second admonishing for me to go on my way. But Lord God, I admonished them 50 times. I suffered. And he's going to say, I never knew you, ye that work iniquity, depart from me. That's the way it's going to work. And you say, well, do you have any Bible for that? Yes, I just shared some of it with you. Does he need a witness? He always fulfills his Bible. It always fulfills the word. This is the book that's open, brethren. And when you say, where's the book of life? This is the book of life, and it's also the book of death. This book right here puts more people in hell than it brings into eternal life. Thus saith the Lord. That's a fact. It says a wide, broad path that leadeth to destruction, but it's a straight way, a narrow way. Few be there that find it. Where did we find it? Right here in this word. Where did the wide, broad path get judged from this word? Few be there. It was this word that was recorded when 8 people got in a boat and the whole rest of the world was flooded. It was the word that recorded that. We need to understand this, God, that you think it's just going to bring everybody in? Every time grandma dies, grandpa dies, mama dies, brother dies, oh, they're in a better place. No, they're not. They're burning in hell, my friend. Because they were wicked. They weren't born again. They didn't serve God with all their heart. The Bible says we're commanded, it's just our reasonable service to lay our life down. We got to give him our life as a living sacrifice. You say, but Brother Rob, there you go back to works again. And I say, yes, amen. Why am I putting my life down as a living sacrifice? For your salvation. Why did he do it? For your salvation. Why do I do it? Because I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And I'm going to tell you something. Listen, your works ain't going to bring you salvation. Your works is a manifestation that you're one with him. And if you ain't doing what he done, you are none of his. If you ain't walking in the way he walked, you're none of his. You could be religious. You could have your name on the books and have your name on the roll. You could be faithful. You can give all your tithes. You could do all those things. But I'm telling you, if you ain't doing what he did, this is what Christ-like means. So don't get your Christ-like part perverted up. I oftentimes find people doing things. I say, can you see Jesus doing that? I'm going to ask you a question. Can you see Jesus down here in Charlotte at a racetrack watching cars go around and around when he knows that the nation of America is getting ready to go down the toilet and that people are dying and perishing? Do you think he's going to be at a ball game or down there watching race cars go around? And do you think he's going to be sitting there when they're drinking and doping and they're all partying and tilting up the liquor and then they put the stripped off women out there kicking up their heels and they're dancing and their pom-poms going, can you see my Lord, my Savior, my Holy God? Can you see him there? I'm asking you, can you see him there? No. But then you're going to tell me that you are Christ-like and that you're a Christian and you're going to be there? See, we can't. Bible said, come out. He wasn't there. He wasn't there. They say, yeah, but he went to the lost. Oh my. Stand together, please. Thank you for coming out to the house of God. Brethren, let's get real. We're in the closing moments of our world, our nation, our country. I want to take somebody in the kingdom with me. I want to bring somebody. I want to grab somebody by the hand and pull them out of the clutches of the devil. The devil's real. He's taken people to hell, brethren. He's been doing this. He's the master of deception. His ministers have transformed themselves into ministers of God. That's what the Bible said. Satan's ministers. It's New Testament doctrine. The Bible said the whole world will follow after the Antichrist. When Obama come in, can you remember? They called him the Anointed One. Does anybody else remember that? They called him the Anointed One. And when the news people and stuff would take a picture of him, they'd always want to catch light and they'd put these halos around his head. Anybody remember any of that stuff? And when they would show him, get on, and they always put the cameras down looking up to him. You see, they know psychology. And they would do these things. See, it's the mind of the Antichrist. You see, if they want to esteem somebody in the people's eyes, they'll put the cameras low. If they don't, they're going to put them looking down. And this is psychology, brother. And the news media knows it, and Satan knows it, and the carnal mind knows it. They called him the Anointed One. They even called him the Messiah at one point. Come on now. You're talking about Obama, Brother Rob? And I said, oh yeah, you really believe he's Antichrist? I'm going to tell you this. Thus saith the Lord. He is Antichrist. I'm telling you that. He is not the Antichrist, but he is Antichrist. The Bible said there's many Antichrists among us. He's just a small part of the problem in America. We could assassinate him or remove him or see him removed out of office tonight. America has got the Antichrist infiltrated in the churches. He's infiltrated in all the denominations. When they start ordaining things that God destroyed this earth for. Come on, God destroyed the earth, brethren. He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. He just completely killed everything there, brethren. And just a few came out of there. Four. Just 4 people come out of there and killed them all. And this is what God's showing that He's going to do. And then yet we, in our churches of America, are passing laws. I heard two Pentecostal preachers saying that they don't see anything wrong with that woman signing them documentation. Said, man, you know, we got to abide by the laws of the land. Why didn't Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego abide by the laws of the land? They said, I would rather serve God as man. I'm going to serve my God. And when my nation changes the laws, this is why we come, for we can have laws and keep the church and the state and things separate, but they've done away with that. And they're going to start putting laws on we Christian people, telling us that we got to do these acts of perversion. It ain't going to happen here, son. I'll be in jail with that Miss Davis. Come on now. I'll be in jail with her and I'll be rejoicing in the Lord, sunshine. And I'm going to try to win the jailer, the bailiff, the judge. I'm going to be telling them all about Jesus. Hey, if you're going to throw me in jail anyway, then you can get me for a tenth of court too, because I'm going to preach Jesus to you. Brother, I'm serving my God. He's my Lord. He's my God. He's my Savior. He's my everything. Amen. And your law don't mean nothing to me, sir. It's His law. It's the laws of my God and His. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I like to see people that got some strength and some backbone. Amen. I tell you what, it's a shame it had to take a little old lady, a little old Pentecostal, a little old apostolic girl to defy the government of America when there should have been some men standing up and some men saying, I'm sick of you and your courts and your judges and your perverts. But it had to take a woman, amen, to stand up. All right. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Darkness tries to hide. It trembles at His voice. Trembles at His voice.
Thank you, Lord.
How great is our God.
Thank you, Lord.
Sing with me, how great is our God. Come, we'll sing, how great. How great is our
Most gracious Father, we thank you, Lord God. Father, I ask tonight, Father, that my ears could be circumcised, Almighty God, in my heart. Father, I know I lack people skills and orator skills, Lord God, but I do my best to cry out to your people. Father, I pray, Lord, that they can discern and hear beyond the voice of a man and hear the vibration from the throne of the living King. The exhortations that come forth from you as our God and our eternal King, that they can hear the exhortations. Father, I pray, Lord God, that we all could have ears and eyes that can see beyond time, beyond the veil of temporal life, and see into the portals of eternity as you made a door for us to walk through there. I thank you, Jesus. And most gracious Father, I ask you, mighty God, to help us, to protect us. Don't let us be guilty, Lord, of being blind and deaf. Don't let us, Lord God, be guilty of being lame and not walking in the Spirit. Father, help us, Lord God, as we see that the day and the hour has approached us and we see sudden destruction upon the land of this great land and great nation called America. Oh, help us, Jesus. Lord, let us get out of the blindness of heart. Don't let us be dull of hearing, Lord God. Help us to perceive and to see, to understand and to comprehend the heights and depths, Lord God, of your word. Don't let us walk in darkness and blindness, oh God, help us. Father, we're asking you for help. We're asking you, Almighty God, to be merciful to us and grant sight to us, Lord, that we can see and perceive and understand. Thank you, Jesus. We praise your name, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord Jesus. We love you and praise your holy name. We ask you all these things, Lord, in the wonderful name, the name above every name. The name, the only name that brings salvation. The only eternal name, the name of Jesus, we ask. And we thank you and we praise you. Amen. God bless you. Let's give him a hand, saints. Amen.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, 3844 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.